Sure. So we're going to start with prayer. Lord, we don't want to only start with prayer. We want our life to be ears open to You, hearing from You, Lord, that You speak, and that we could respond. Father, we just ask, Lord, that You would just open up our eyes of faith. Lord, that we'd see You more clearly. And as we see You, that we would love You even more. And that You would build up our most holy faith. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Okay, so today, this is going to be interesting-ish. We're going to read the first two chapters. Because we need to pick and choose. I need to pick some parts apart, things apart to make what I want to say. So I need to use all both chapters to start. And hopefully by the end it'll come back around. But my reader's not here today. So I'm going to... anybody want to read some or all of it? But the first two chapters, we're only going to really get through a verse-ish. No? Anyone? I'll read it so it'll be louder. How about that? Paul, okay, before I read, as I'm reading, I would like you to think about, is this a wonderful message of encouragement to a group of believers? First question, as you're hearing. Second one, can you receive this letter to yourself? And if the answer is no, we're going to talk about that the rest of the time. How to. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. To the church of Thessalonians, this is why I don't read. To the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and much assurance. As you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia but Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we've had to you, and how you turn to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before you and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come with error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as men pleasers, but God who tests the heart. Hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach the gospel of God. You were witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved among ourselves among you who believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that we should walk worthy of God who calls us into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea and in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from their Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved. So as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore we wanted to come to you again, I, even Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy, or crowning of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and joy. So would you say that is an encouraging letter for a body of believers? Remember how long it's been since they received this message from Paul originally? Probably about 6 months. In 6 months, let's say a year, let's give them a year, a group of believers from a town was able to make known to a county, let's say, that they had a love for God. And I think it's beautiful. Especially with the insight knowing that Paul was only there teaching 3 weeks. Seems like they got it. Seems like they went with it. Seems like they took it. Is it a letter you can receive for yourself? Huh?
You have to.
You have to? If you want to enjoy it, right? Now, I think sometimes it's hard to say, well, I don't see myself. I don't know that the county around me and the body, you know, and this isn't to beat up or tear down. This is just the reality. I want to look at their lives and see how the gospel impacted them, how it impacted them to get this letter. Like, ultimately, all of our desire in the last moment when we stand before Him is to hear what? Well done, good and faithful servant. What don't we want to hear? Depart from me, I never knew you. Right? So, this is what we want to hear, and this is what we don't want to hear. Well, thank God if you have the Spirit within you that testifies that you are a child of God, you're not going to hear, depart from me. You will hear, well done. But you're not going to enjoy that walk and that life with Jesus if we don't surrender and yield to the gospel. It's good. One of the hardest things to know is to know you're a winner, but every day fail and struggle. And it's kind of hard to see that I'm victorious when I look at my life. That's just me. Sorry. That's why I say, if anybody else wants to share, you're welcome, because I haven't figured it out. But I think I'm getting a clue. It's only been 29 years. I'm getting a glimpse. And I think You guys remember Kent asked me to read this and try to figure out, like, to talk about this when I was saying, what do we want to do next? And he said, why do you think Thessalonians is one of the last books in the New Testament by Paul? And I'm like, and then lots of people have lots of reasons, but I have my own. And that is, the Thessalonians were the first one of the early believers in Paul's life. Or as he went out teaching in his second journey, he came across and shared with them, and they believed. And I talked again, one of the first times, one of the neat things about this whole book is Paul, who it's one of the earliest letters written, right? But then they moved it to the back to make it like his last. So this is before he's in prison, before all of his other letters that he's writing to the Thessalonians. And this is just my opinion and why it's in the back. Because I think maybe in the midst of everything, with all the doctrine that's taught from Romans to this point, also. But there's something with running in by faith. Going, moving, walking in the known word that you've received. And you see, Paul doesn't talk about sin in Thessalonians. He encourages you in faith. One time sin's mentioned, and it's only talking about unbelievers. 12 times encouraging, or well, actually we read one of them, that you're walking so well, I don't even need to talk to you about your faith. But I'm going to talk to you about your faith. That's what the rest of the letter is. He takes and talks to them about something that they didn't need to hear about and just keeps expanding on it. Keep going. Keep pressing on. Keep receiving from the Lord. And so he wants to encourage that. So what I'm thinking is that however this worked is probably, I think it's in order by the Holy Spirit, that it got to the point that all the other stuff removed except for fixing your eyes on Jesus. And running after him in faith. You see, why is that the last mention of everything? Because ultimately, at the very beginning, is what they learned. And what Paul saw is, the only thing they needed to hear was, I want to encourage you in your faith. I don't need to talk to you about your sin. We all know we have it. Doesn't diminish it. But the Lord doesn't want you to interact with him based on sin. He wants you to interact with him based on the child of God. That you're his. You're forgiven. You're clean. You're accepted. So that you can run. We've been given a race. Are we running? It's questions we have to ask ourselves to be serious with ourselves. I believe the Word of God wants to make an impact on you when you read it. I literally believe that God is speaking his word to me when I open the Bible. Right? Specific to me at that moment. There are truths that are universal from the Lord, but then he wants to speak to you personally and magnify those truths for you so that he becomes more real. And it's a relationship, and it's not about doctrine. It's about life. Hebrews 4:12 says, it's the Word of God, for the Word of God is living. And I share the same verses all the time. Because I think we need to hear them over and over. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and in the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when I'm reading the Word already knows what's going on in here. And he knows how to speak. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to him who must give an account. So as I come to his word, I need to come with ears to hear, ears of faith. Because, you know, Jesus, when he walked this earth, he shared the same thing to a lot of people. But how many received? Peter tells us that as newborn babes, We should desire the pure milk of the Word. And there's, or actually, that's a different place. There's newer with meekness to receive the Word of God, which is able to save your souls. Right? So if I understand it's His Word being taught, I have to receive it with meekness and humility so that I can see where I'm going wrong, so I can learn how to walk right and who to trust in, not myself. To trust in Him. So these people seem to do well. You're going to read that through all this, as they're walking in faith, that they're going to be mixed with the doubts because people are getting killed for speaking about Jesus. So what does Paul come along and say? Keep pressing on. Keep pushing on. Press on to that upper call which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, to know Him. Right? So that as I know Him, I can make Him known. Because I believe, as the Lord reveals something to me, it's not for me. Right? If I'm to be a fruitful tree, the fruit only shows a healthy tree. That fruit can only be plucked from a healthy tree. It ain't for the tree. It's for nourishment of others. It's for dying off and creating new life. And it looks pretty. Well, some of the fruits do. Some, but anyway. So the Lord speaks to us so that we can receive, and then therefore we can speak. We can receive, believe, and then speak. Right? That was your question. Is that correct? Or does it receive and believe for you? Are we all to get on a boat and watch everybody go down? We're going to be going anchored up, sorry, not down, while everybody floats by. I don't think that's the Lord's desire. Because He could have let that happen for us. And sat in heaven and watched us all go down the river to hell. So, can you receive this letter? In some ways, yes. Some ways, it's hard. I would say it's like a mixed multitude going on in your brain. Like, wait a minute. Well, I think there's keys in these verses to tell us why they were motivated. What moved them. What changed their mind. Because, like, really, I want to just blow verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians open. It says, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and much assurance, and you know what kind of men we were among you for your sakes. Did you notice Paul says, our gospel? We were talking about the gospel this morning, but Paul says he had a gospel. Later we find out that his gospel is aligned with God's gospel. And that's where we should come to a place where the good news that we've received comes from the good news that He sent. And then it needs to be mixed with the Holy Spirit. Right? And now it says, it didn't come in word only, but the Holy Spirit needs to be brought into there. And there needs to be much assurance. Where's the assurance come from? Knowing Him. That I'm clean, I'm forgiven. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to say that. To have assurance of your salvation. Not many believers have it. A lot of churches don't even teach you can. But if you're not sure of it, how can you share it? If it's not for me, then why would I take it and run for someone else? Right? That's something I need to receive. Mixed with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that the Holy Spirit's job? Convince the world of sin. I'm sorry? Lead you in all truth. Point to Christ. Right? That's the Spirit of Christ. Right? So we have, we literally, when we receive the gospel, the Bible teaches that you're born again, right? You're born anew. Your spirit comes alive, and then what else happens? You're given His Spirit as a testimony of the inheritance which you will receive, so that His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child. So He gives you all things that you need to know that you're His. And ultimately, He comes back and says, if you will receive My Word and believe on My Word, because this Word is truth. By the way, Jesus is the Word made flesh. It's receiving Him. So when I'm receiving the Word, I'm receiving exactly from Jesus, and I'm receiving the Lord Himself. Okay, so now the Holy Spirit needs to be mixed in there. It's not to beat you up. It's not to tear you down, to bring much assurance. See, the enemy wants to tear you down and distract you and lie to you. That says you're not enough, or you've blown it. You can't receive a letter like this. And the Holy Spirit says, come. Who's truthful? Right? So I'm just letting you know that. Is it conviction? Condemnation. Conviction will draw you. Condemnation will keep you away. Is the Holy Spirit drawing you unto Himself to make Himself known to you? Or is Satan lying to you? Or are you lying to yourself, saying, I'm not worthy, I can't receive it. It's okay for everyone else, but not for me. And Paul says, I'm the chiefest of sinners. So if it was for him, it's for all. And all you have to do is humble yourself and receive it. Right? That's how we enter in. But I think one of the beautiful keys, and this has got to be a work of the Holy Spirit, if you turn and look in chapter 2, verse 13, Paul tells us what the work of the Holy Spirit was. Mixing with Peter, saying with meekness. It says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcome it not as the word of men. This is key. This is not a word of men. This is men moved by the Holy Spirit, which is God. But as it is in truth, the Word of God. I think this is important. Does Jesus expect us to believe the Word of God when it comes from somebody else's mouth, as much as if it even came from His own and you saw it? Question. Right. Yes. Mark 16:14-16, it says, later, after Jesus rose, He appeared to the 11. As they sat at the table, He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. Remember, Mary came back and said, He's risen. The two from Emmaus, we walked with Him, He talked down. Didn't our hearts burn within us when He opened up the Scriptures to us? Where were they at that time? In a room, hiding, worried about fear of the Jews. And Jesus comes and rebukes them. So there is a point in time that we have to come to a place when someone's speaking for the Word, from the Word, with the Word, by the Holy Spirit, that we receive it just as if God is speaking it to us. This is His Word. This is all we have to know that pertains to life and godliness. Without this, we have nothing. Right? How would I know that my sins were paid? How would I know that there's a Creator who loves me, that's willing to die for me so that I can have life with Him eternally? If this ain't here. Well, they didn't have it then. So they trusted God for when men shared that the Holy Spirit enlightened them to trust and believe as though it was from God. So it was the Word of God really mixed by faith, with faith, empowered by the Holy Spirit to make it effective. And I honestly believe in my own life, I don't honor the Word enough. Even when I'm reading. Can that really mean that? Do you really want to do that? It's not do you want me to do that, it's do you really want to do that? And the answer is, yeah, I do. Because the life He lived on this earth, right? What did Jesus tell everybody? The things that I do, did He just do them by a whim and say, you know, I'm God, I can do what I want? What did He say? I only do that which I see the Father do. I only speak that which I hear the Father say. Right? Those men received it, believed it, and walked it out. After they were pushed out multiple times. So, what is it going to take? Because I personally am disgusted and sick and tired of looking outside these walls and feeling like there's a different God with me. There's a different... You just don't feel like you fit. We were talking about this earlier. Don't feel like you're a part of this world or you feel like it's going crazy or nuts. It's just because you woke up. It's because you have the Holy Spirit within you to show you. But we do have a loving God. He is in control, and every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But we need to come to a place like we're like that person whose son was demon possessed, that looked like epileptic seizures. And B, understand that, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. The life of an unbelieving believer. That Paul continually says, keep going in your faith. Keep pursuing God. Keep going after Him. And as He speaks to you, share it. Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. As we have been approved by God, I'm going to read this in parts. Who's here been approved by God? I know Paul's talking about himself here, right? That's okay, you don't have to do this. I got one. Are you approved by God? To be entrusted with the gospel? Well, you had to be entrusted if you received it. What's the next word? What? Even so we speak. You have been approved by God, and He's trusting you with His gospel. Is that beautiful or what? No, not me. I can't do it. I'm not asking you to. I'm asking you to let me do it through you. Not me, Him. And I left out the last part of that verse. Because it's very important. Because that's the trial. Not as pleasing men. But God. He tests the heart. So what is He saying there? What's God testing? What do you think God's testing?
He's testing your heart.
Do you believe it enough to say that I've been entrusted with it and approved by God to walk it out and let her rip?
If he believes he walks it out, yeah.
Yeah. Does he want to? Does he want to live any life different now than he did when he was in his own body? He's only multiplied himself so he can do it more. His desire, he came to save the world, not to condemn it. So it seems like the message is still the same. I'm not telling you, I know you guys know this. But will you receive it and go with it? See, the test is, do I believe enough to speak it? Am I fully convinced? Do I have the faith to say, no matter what's in front of me, I know Jesus saved me. And the life I have now is His. You see, if we can be moved by the Word of God, influenced by the Holy Spirit, to be entrusted with the Gospel, I think God can do great things if we believe Him. I believe God wants to, well, we know He's coming back at one time, and He's going to reign and rule, but He can now, as we let Him, in our lives, so it can be an example. And we're going to see, as we go through Thessalonians, there's a lot to it. They became followers, then they became examples. Same thing you do. First you follow Christ, and then you're an example of Christ. It's always a flow. It's never just for us individually. And I think it's a beautiful thing that if we can come to a place to say, yes, Lord, thank You for entrusting me. Thank You for speaking. Thank You for giving me life. And now that I have life, I'm going to try to go out and speak so others can. Because you can tell we live in a miserable world. A world with no hope. It's not just a generation. But we have truth. And that's just not words, it's a person. And He wants to make His word personal to you so that you can take that word and spread it and become part of it. The Holy Spirit needs to work. You need to humble yourself and agree with God. It's not easy. That's why we have to die daily. We have to pick up our cross and follow Him. There's all these things. You're going to read in Thessalonians. Read it this week. You're going to see about 4 or 5 times. He says, I've already told you you're going to have afflictions. You receive the word in joy and in much affliction. You went and told everybody and you became an example by them torturing you and putting you in jail. It's like your other churches in Jerusalem. You become partakers of Christ's sufferings. When we deny ourselves and pick up that cross. And we all know as we have and do, we enjoy the life we've been given much more. And we look at all the trial, struggles, and everything else going on. If we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we have peace. When you look at anything else, just like Peter, get ready to sink. But when you're sinking, just remember what Peter did as well. Lord, save me. Fix my eyes back on You. Help redirect me and get my eyes back on You. Help me to stop doubting. Help me to stop looking at everything else other than You. Because I know that You have the words of life, eternal life. And He wants to bring that and bear that so that you can receive it and then you can give it. And if we want to see this world change, we need to seek Jesus. And go hard after Him. And when He shows, when He reveals Himself to you, not if, it's when. Because He promises if you seek me with your whole heart, you'll find me. So we know He doesn't lie. So if you're not finding Him, what's that mean? To the pure, all things are pure. The pure in heart will see God.
The cool thing is if we're humble enough and we open up His Word, He's on every page. The Word made flesh. And guess what? He wants to make a flesh in you. Flesh it out of you. Meaning Jesus still wants to walk that life that He lived through you. So that the world may know the beauty of who He is. And that they've been set free. And they've been accepted and trusted to receive God's grace. Any thoughts, questions, subtraction? And this is no way saying, the cool thing is I know that everybody in here, as far as I know, loves the Lord. But the only thing I can say is, keep going after Him. Keep drawing from Him. Draw your life source. He is our life source. Run hard after Jesus. Then stand with Jesus. And just love Him. And say thank you. At the end of the letter, see, I like got to skip all around. Paul says at the end, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In some things, give thanks. Oh, okay, okay. In everything, give thanks. Why? Because it's the will of God for you to be a thankful person. And I can't be thankful if I don't have nothing to look at to be thankful for. And everything I have to be thankful for is everything He's given me. And that's life more abundantly. I want to enjoy it more. So I need to receive it. And I need to be, like Peter says, with meekness, receive that word. We're going to see that there's a motherly love in here. We're going to see there's a fatherly charge. You ever notice that? Moms kind of cuddle and dads say, that's what Paul said. But anyway, I'm just grateful that we have His Word and that He gives us an opportunity to continue to hear the same thing over again to bring us to a point of repentance so that we can walk even more clearly after Him. So. Good? Yes? Yeah. Okay. Incorruptible seed. Anyone else? No? Yeah? Well, okay, Richard.
I've got something. I wanted to add with it because I think it's a compliment. But I was kind of one of the years, I remember the last year ago, yesterday had the breakfast.
Yeah, that'll be online this week.
And he made a statement about, you know, referring to Christ, he shared on the resurrection of Lazarus. And he is the resurrection and the life. So it was all good. I love that now. And I just, he showed his power, he demonstrated his power. And Joe was saying something about, he made a statement, maybe you can recall it that or another month, I forget But something about doctrine. It's not doctrine, it's something about it. It's not really, but if you want to see Jesus, it's it is a person, Jesus, okay? And for our church and us together in unity of love, and what a great
Christ.
Story this message is too here at the lake. Jesus has preeminence. I tell my wife this morning. See, when Jesus is over all in all, He's the one we need to stay. Okay? But I wanted to share it with you. Something Paul wrote to Timothy, and I want to add to it. I thought it was interesting. But I think it's true, too. Because it all is. He says here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, just one verse, he says, till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. So, she said, preeminent over doctrine. But there's a lot of doctrines that are kind of Christology and whatever.
Right.
And for teachings, he has preeminence over. But we shouldn't.
Doctrine is not a bad thing, but if your doctrine doesn't bring you to Jesus, it's worthless.
Yeah. That's true, too. That's important because Jesus first.
Right.
And then you'll learn about it. That's what doctrine teaches.
Yeah.
I thought I'd read that.
Yeah, that's why the word's written, so that we get the proper doctrine.
Right.
Right? So that we understand how to live. There's a lot, we hold ourselves, we put doctrines on ourselves. And in the Pharisees, Jesus said, you search the scriptures, and you think you have life. But they are that which testify of me. But you weren't willing to come to me. See, I'm willing to hold on to a doctrine rather than a person. And sometimes the person will override the doctrine. But he will never override his word.
Yeah. The only thing that relates to doctrine is the doctrines that we have on the Holy Bible.
Yep.
We believe every doctrine, okay, and take it to heart. Receive it with thanksgiving and be encouraged in the Word because of Christ and see Him as the one that saved us and that it's by His teaching realizing seeing Him is all. I think we see so much more than just reading the paper. Even though this Word is true, it's real and it's alive.
Yeah. And if we have proper doctrine, we'll have Christ.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Cool. I had an example, small one. Like, we're all duped since we had COVID and all that stuff here. But literally, if your blood, well, there was blood of one person that could save everybody because they all had the same disease. But it had to be intimate, and that person had to have drawn blood every time with each other individual, and that person be needing to receive it by faith, and his blood's going to cure me. Right? Well, what happens is it's multiplied now, that his blood, that vaccine cure for the problem of the sin of mankind, his blood's within you. And it needs to be shed. Whether it's through a walk of life and working it out and sharing it, and people receiving it, believing it, or them rejecting it, and well, we know the outcome of that too. But either way, we seek Jesus. But if you had the cure and you knew it, would you take it? Do you care enough about your neighbor? Do you care about the ones that are out there that you know ain't going to make it if they don't hear it or receive that gift? I mean, it's heaven or hell, eternal. It's real. I mean, that's the reality is, every person that you ever come across is an eternal being. Everlasting life or everlasting condemnation. And God's got to stir us as it stirred Him to be moved to come. So He would stir us to move together as you received, as you believe. So, anyone else? Cool. Well, new tomatoes, that's good. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we don't want our own doctrine. We don't even want to hold on to our own gospel. We want to receive the good news that you have. Lord, not just to speak it, but to enjoy you, to walk with you, to live with you here now, that we might know you here. So it won't be as much a surprise when we stand before you. So Lord, I ask that you would increase our faith that we might know you. And Lord, as we get to know you, you would help us to fall even more in love with you. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.